Well, I talk a lot about the products that can make your life easier, and I use and love Tear Mender. It's been around since 1932. This adhesive repairs tears on all types of clothing, fabrics, leather, vinyl, footwear, buttons. Tear Mender can also repair canvas awnings, tents, carpet, and fabric furniture. It's one product you gotta have in your home this spring as we're pulling out all the outdoor cushions and umbrellas. Tear Mender is available at your local hardware store, Amazon, or TearMender.com for more great make-do and mend solutions and ideas.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. Best time of the day. Good to say good afternoon. Welcome to hour number four. And you're at home with Gary Sullivan. Spend some time getting our house back in order, getting some of those projects done on the outside of our home for a change. And happy to take your calls at 749-5500. A reminder. And I think just about, well, I can't say every home, but an awful lot of homes in this area. If you look at the sidewalks, the driveways, the porches, you're going to see the concrete going the wrong way. You're going to see one corner of it dipping. And you're going to say, geez, I wish I could just literally reach in, pick that up. Well, you can't do that, but you can have it level. And A1 Concrete Leveling will be joining us at the bottom of the hour, and we'll talk about how you can tackle that project. In the meantime, back to work we go. Mike, welcome.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Hey, my question is about an air conditioning unit. It's an older home. It has the old type of condenser, which would take the original, I think, R22 refrigerant.
Right.
And this is where I'm living for the temporary time. And so it's not a forever home for me. Now, it takes about 11 pounds. So I'm at the crossroads of, okay, number one, you know, having it tested first to see if it'll hold pressure. And if it does, what it would cost to fill it with refrigerant. Now, my question is really, that R22 is very expensive, but I was told recently, and I never knew this, there's a replacement like called 422.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, for a temporary stay, even if I were to buy window units, you know, it's probably going to cost me, for a decent sized home built for 3,000 square feet, a little bit of money. So I guess my question to you is, do you have any knowledge of this replacement refrigerant? And I guess just, if you were in my situation.
Yeah, just that exists, Mike, is what I know about it. And I guess really not long ago, well, heck, we always go through this. You're just going to have to weigh it out. You're going to have a service call on it really to determine what exactly the issue is, right? I mean, we know it's not cooling right now, right? So then you're going to have to find out what your cost is and, you know, is there a leak there or what's going on? I mean, I think your service call is probably going to answer your question. For instance.
Oh, absolutely. And I guess the main reason I called was if you had any knowledge about this replacement refrigerant.
I know it exists. I don't even know how it lines up in price. But yes, it does exist.
Definitely much cheaper.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to be extremely cheaper. It's going to be less expensive. And if it's less expensive, there's a drawback to it too, which I don't have that answer. Otherwise it wouldn't be less expensive. But if you're just trying to get it, you know, pumping cold air for the next 2 years, you know, I've had it before where I thought I had a leak and it wasn't holding pressure when it was holding pressure. And it was just from having it tested so many times. It's just low, and they filled it up. And I can't tell you whether they filled it up, with the what they filled it up with. But it was an inexpensive. It's been going for 2 years, so you know, if it holds pressure, I think that's the number one.
Yeah, the thing is for me, and you might be able to weigh in on this. Is obviously I want to be comfortable in the house when the weather gets hot. But it's not even just that. It's the basement, partially finished. I don't want it to be too damp down there, right. So I don't want to create another issue with the mold. So right. If the air conditioning is working as a whole throughout the whole house, it'll help that. If I sure. put some window units in, old school, that doesn't help my situation in the basement. So
right. Probably answering your question then. Well, you can get a dehumidifier for the basement, though. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can get a dehumidifier.
Yeah, for sure. But I didn't know if that was going to be enough. But I guess they've been doing it for a long time before everyone had central air, so.
Well, and you know, a lot of people make the mistake when they get a dehumidifier. There's different sizes on those. I mean, just go on Amazon, just look at all the different sizes. And it seems like everybody, when they get a humidity in a basement, they're just worrying about that, you know, little room and with the TV in the basement. When, in fact, humidity right. in a basement kind of works like a stack effect. Once it gets too humid in the basement, it'll become too humid on the first floor, too. So you got to
really,
you know, like when I have a dehumidifier in my basement and, you know, I got the square footage of the entire basement. And once if I can keep that in control, I'll keep the humidity on the first level under control.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's a very great point. Well, listen, thank you for your time and your honesty and everything. Appreciate it.
Very good, Mike. Good luck. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. All right. Then we'll go to Sharon. Sharon, welcome.
Hi, Gary. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question is about a stamped concrete patio. It was put in 4 years ago. When he went to seal it, it rained soon afterwards, and so it caused that milky look to this patio. Uh-huh. He came back, put some xylene on, resealed the area. Guess what? It rained again. He was not a good weatherman.
Oh, man.
So, yes. So now 4 years into this, here's what's happening, especially where the xylene was put.
Yeah.
It's down to the concrete color, which is sandstone base, but the deep charcoal release in certain areas is gone. Mm-hmm. But here's the odd thing. When it rains,
looks good.
It all looks nice.
Yeah, it looks
but
good.
But when it dries, there are sections, you know, right. where there's no release.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. any suggestions?
Well, you know, it's magic. When it rains, it always looks good. And quite honestly, a good sealer, just creating that sheen that rain's creating, it's really not the rain that's rejuvenating it. It's just the sheen or the gloss of the rain laying on that surface makes it pop again. So if you seal it again, that color, you know, it's not 100%, but it'll look good. It'll look good.
So just
it
so
needs
just
sealing again.
The,
yeah, it just needs sealing again. Don't do it when it rains.
Within four years is okay to do another resealing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for a gloss sealer on stamped concrete, 3 to 5 years is the lifespan.
Okay. Here's another part of this question. I try to get concrete people to come out and look at it. Some have come and then don't give me a bid. Some don't even bother calling back.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have a comment about tradesmen as of late. And I don't know if there could be some kind of show about this through NARI or something about how tradesmen need to call back their customers or potential customers, or at least up front, let them know, hey, I'm not interested in this.
Yep. I hear you. And I can assure you that if they're NARI certified, they have been trained in that. If they're not NARI certified, I don't know if they've been trained in it. But as you watch the news, we all know the stories, right? Tradespeople right now are in short supply. The demand is higher than ever, and there's only so many bodies that can get around to do the work. Now, that doesn't make it an excuse not to answer you. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying right now, I don't think you can look at any one place and say the tradespeople are doing this. Look, you can go to pretty much any business right now that's dealing with people. The service is not up to what we're used to.
That's for sure.
And so it's a problem. But I do know you mentioned NARI, so I can speak. I know that they're training classes for owners of trade businesses. They're trained to do that. And some are very, very good. I mean, I hate to throw everybody in the same pot, and I'm not, because there's some that still give outstanding service. I hear you loud and clear.
May I just go back to this resealing? What do we have to do to reseal? Clean the patio really well? Do we power wash it?
You can. If you're going to have somebody do that work for you, we're going under the assumption they know how to properly power wash. I work with a company in the greater Cincinnati area that sponsors this show called Great American Soft Wash. They do it with different chemicals that can clean it beautifully without using a pressure washer. People mm-hmm. that'll do the sealers will sometimes do the pressure washing also. So depending on who mm-hmm. you select there, you always need a clean, bondable surface. So it does have to be clean, yes.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you for taking my call.
You're quite welcome. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Sharon. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's take a little break. And again, at the bottom of the hour, we'll have A1 Concrete Leveling joining me and Walter and Greg. Sit tight. We'll continue at home with Gary Sullivan right here on 55KRC, the talk station. All right, back at it we go. 12:20 on your Saturday. And let's get to Walter. Walter, welcome.
Hey, nice listening to your show. I've got a concrete section here that was done when the house was built that is settling, and it's about an inch, maybe 3/4 inch settled to where, you know, it poses a trip hazard as you walk into the garage from the threshold here. Mm-hmm. What would be the, you know, YouTube, check it all out. What would be the best way to fix that myself? Because I don't live exactly right around the corner from people who could do that, so...
Well, I don't know of a way that you could, you know, actually lift it. You would have to, as far as I know, on a do-it-yourself project, it would be a matter of putting something over the concrete. What's causing that to settle is a void in the earth underneath it, right? I mean, the base is not well. It's either improperly installed or it's properly installed in a sinkhole developed, which is causing that to tilt down. What a professional would do, Walter, and this is where I don't think you're going to have the ability to do this. Now, maybe they rent those machines, but I've never inquired it. They would drill through that slab, and then they would have a cementitious grout, like a limestone grouting. And sometimes I see people using urethanes now. And they'll pump that under pressure underneath that slab and fill that void and lift that slab. And through experience and knowledge, they'll know how much to lift that slab and, you know, estimate how much more it's going to push that slab up to cut it off, right? Otherwise, you have the opposite problem. I don't think a do-it-yourselfer would have the access to the equipment. I could be wrong. I've not inquired about that. So as a homeowner, even a handy homeowner, you're going to be looking at leveling it off from the top rather than underneath. So the good news is it can work. The bad news is if that's a void underneath there and that void hasn't finished, allowing that to settle, adding additional weight will have it settle. There's also limitations on the thicknesses applied to various products to use to level that slab off. And regular concrete really doesn't like to adhere to concrete, so we'd have to add a bonding agent to it. So in a nutshell, that's kind of my answer. I don't know if that helps you.
Okay. Okay, I've looked at everything, as you could imagine.
Right.
They sell stuff now. I saw on the YouTube where you can almost apply it like some type of putty. But man, I just can't see how that's going to last after it gets wet and over the long term, and how it's not going to buckle up and so on.
Yeah. Well, my experience, and I've been doing this my whole life, my experience is anything added on the surface is not the way to go. Because it's kind of compounding your problem, number one. Now, there's better different epoxies out there now, but those things aren't cheap either. And you still have the additional weight. You're really not solving the problem. You're fixing the symptom, but you're not really solving the problem. That's the only thing that concerns me. And most of the time, and people do it, you know, even, you know, if there's a leveling or concrete lifting place right next door, they'll do it themselves to save the money. And I get that. But long term, I don't think that's your solution.
Okay. All right. I've priced everything, as you can imagine. And it's just that one section to busting out the section itself and replacing the whole thing. But
right.
Everything's $500 and more just for, we're only talking about a 3.5 by 3 foot, 4 foot section of sidewalk. And I'm thinking, man, I just don't want to spend that kind. And then, of course, I've looked at the YouTube where you excavate, quote, underneath it and then lift the entire slab up. Yeah. With a shop automobile jack, and then building yourself a little frame, and then filling all that in with concrete underneath with a little frame to keep it from coming out of form.
And the problem with that is it's really not under any pressure. So how do you know you get it in far enough, deep enough, and all that? That's the problems. That's why houses cost what they cost, I guess.
Okay, so the bottom line is, what would you, just off the top of your head, what would be your recommendation?
Well, I don't know how far you live away from somebody that could come out and service that, but I would check for they call them several different things: concrete leveling, mud jackers, slab jackers. I would look to see if there's somebody that can do that.
Yeah.
Then it's put in there under pressure. It's filling the void, and you know you got to have a good base, right? You and I both know that.
Yeah, and I'm not even a concrete man, so
yeah.
Okay.
All right, man.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time and your input.
Thank you, sir. Take care. All right, let's grab Greg here, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll get to our guest, and we'll talk in depth about lifting concrete. Greg, welcome.
Hey, Gary, I've got a composite deck and meets up with my brick house. And we just moved in a year ago. Anyway, there was caulking between the two. I'm digging that out right now because it's in really terrible shape. And I'm after. So what should I clean that area with first? And then what caulk should I use?
When you say clean the area, you're talking about cleaning the rest of the concrete or the caulk residue off, or what are we cleaning?
Right. I'm picking off what I can, but it kind of leaves there's a little bit of a stickiness there, and I didn't know what to use on that.
Do you know what kind of caulking it is? Is it like a silicone? When you say
sticky.
Yeah,
it looked like they, it had silicone kind of on top, and then underneath it was a black substance, which I really don't know what it was. That's the part that's kind of sticky, which I'm digging it all out. So,
yeah. And I don't really know what we're trying to get off. That's where I'm a little confused. There's products, you know, it's a pretty generic answer, but there's problems like goof off and things like that, which will take off some adhesives. I don't know what that is that's sticky. I mean, could it be tar?
Yeah, I don't know. Good question. It's I don't know. It looks like, of course, they just took a clear silicone and went over the top of whatever was there.
Right.
And of course it didn't adhere to it. That's one of the problems that about it. So I just want to fix it so it's done right.
Yeah.
But
if it's tar or an adhesive, the goof off will take care of it. If it's a residue of a urethane or of a silicone, it'll laugh at the goof off.
I'll know what I'm doing. Huh?
And then there is, we talked earlier about a caulk remover. You can, and they don't remove caulking, but they soften the caulking so that you can then use maybe like a putty knife or something and just work it a little bit more and remove as much of that as you can. So always hard to give you an answer when we don't know what we're removing, but probably, you know, with the blackness and kind of sticky, I think by that description, I'd probably try the goof off and see where that gets you. And then whenever you're caulking mixed substrates, and certainly a composite to a brick would be a mixed substrate because there's differentials in expansion and contractions, I would use there's one you can get at a Sherwin-Williams store called White Lightning Urethane. I would use a urethane caulking more than a silicone. It has even better adhesion. You could use a silicone, but you know, a good urethane probably do the best job.
Great. One other thing, I caught your advice on the old composite decks using the Defy wood stain. But the gentleman talked about cleaning the composite deck, and I didn't catch what he used.
Yes. Yeah. So the question he had to me a couple months previous to that was a different kind of question. It wasn't just cleaning the composite decking. It was he had a grill out there and there was oil stains that had soaked into the composite decking and from, you know, like a meat and things like that. And the product I recommend, it's called ACT Cleaner. And it's a microbe that actually eats grease. It's a powder. You sprinkle it on, it eats the grease and the grease goes away. And so does the microbes. It's like magic. It takes about a week to 10 days for it to fully activate and do its job. But it's actcleaners.com. It's for removing oil or grease. And that's what he was cleaning. If you just want to clean the surface of the composite decking, I'm always recommending an oxygenated bleach. That Defy wood stain, they've got the composite stain. And they also have an excellent, good grade of deck cleaner. And it is a high-grade oxygenated bleach, which will just basically clean the deck real nice.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Gary. Really appreciate it.
You're quite welcome. Thank you. Take care. All right. Let's take a break. And coming up, we have Clay and maybe Ryan from A1 Concrete Leveling. We'll talk about doing just what we've been speaking of, taking care of the concrete around your home. That's next at home with Gary Sullivan right here on 55KRC, the talk station. All right, back at it. 12:35 on your Saturday. I hope things are going nicely for you. By the way, this hour is brought to you by Greater Cincinnati Doors and Closet. You can call the father and son team like Mike and Kyle to have your interior doors replaced in just a day. You can buy three doors, get three free. Visit onedaycincinnati.com. All right, joining me now, as promised, we have Ryan and Clay. They are with A1 Concrete Leveling, and the boys are back in the house. Welcome, Clay. How are you?
Hey, Gary. Doing good. How are you?
Good. Tell us a little bit about, we've had a lot of conversations today about concrete leveling, which I'm going to get to, but tell me a little bit about A1 Concrete Leveling in Cincinnati.
Okay, so we offer a service that drills 1-inch diameter holes into concrete where we can, you know, lift your sunken concrete, level out your sunken concrete, and or stabilize it. So if you have voids beneath it, we can fill those voids and stabilize your concrete as well.
And so this is pretty much work anywhere around the house, whether it's a sidewalk, stoop, driveway, you know, all that you guys can take care of.
Yeah, we do commercial, residential, industrial. We pretty much do it all.
Okay.
And any concrete.
Sure.
You know, we we want to talk to the customer. You know, we get most of our calls for, you know, the sunken, uneven concrete, trip hazards, negative watersheds, you know, things like that. But I, you know, I heard you talking a lot about maintenance as well. So when we come out, you know, we discuss, you know, maintenance that the homeowner can do, things that we can do. Heard you talking about caulking, you know, it's caulking and sealing joints after we lift it to, you know, maintain the concrete as well.
What causes that concrete, you know, just a corner to drop an inch or so? What's going on there?
It can be a variety of things. One would be, you know, houses that are, you know, 15, 20 years old. They, you know, after the backfilling around the foundation, pour, you know, that loose dirt can settle over time. So we see a lot of sunken slabs around near the foundation. Also, water can be a big one. You know, just saturating the base, washing out the base, and animals.
All burrowing. So, yeah. Stuff.
There is can be several reasons.
And what do you pump underneath that slab to lift it?
So it's a crushed stone. It's actually a crushed limestone, and it's basically ground down into a powder, and so we mix it on site with water into a slurry, and then we inject it through our one-inch diameter holes to pressurize beneath the slab. The holes we have to drill are a little bit bigger than a quarter, so relatively, you know, small. A lot of people think of the, you know, the mud jacking holes where you got to core like a pop can size,
right,
you know, hole into the concrete. So it's just less stress on the concrete with the smaller holes.
I'm hearing and seeing more about pumping a urethane underneath that. Is that gimmicky? Is that something that's new and exciting and going to replace the limestone, or what's going on in that category?
So, several years back, the foam did come out, you know, where we can, you know, lift concrete with it. And of course we had to, you know, run out and buy us a foam kit as well. And, you know, we just found that our system was more superior to that and it lasted longer. There was other reasons. We had complaints of ants, ant colonies within the foam just because it's so porous. And you have to be, you know, we can really control and dial in our lifts. We can shut our pumps off at any time. With the foam, you inject it, it starts expanding, and the concrete didn't always do what we wanted it.
Exactly. Ryan, we're going to bring you into the conversation. I know you're out in the field a lot. What is, when you're doing that, how long does it take? Let's say we got a slab in a driveway. And, you know, if you don't correct that, we all know what's going to happen. That slab's going to crack, and then you got maybe a bigger problem. But how big of a project is it to lift concrete, I guess, is the question.
A couple different factors. I mean, it depends on how big of a void is underneath, size of the slab, weight of the slab, you know, how bad it's settled. I mean, if you will come up to a driveway, say you got two driveway slabs that are going into a garage and you don't have any void underneath it, I mean, you got a 2 to 3 inch lift. I mean, you can get it done in a half hour, 45 minutes. I mean, if you control the lift the right way, you got the right mixture and, you know, there's no void, you can get the slab moving pretty quickly and wrap up the job pretty quick and let people can drive on it when we're done too. Drive across it. We have to, you know, park on it for about 24 to 48 hours, but they can drive across it in a matter of minutes after we complete the job.
So this question just came to my head. Don't laugh. But have you ever been pumping your mixture underneath the slab to level this and going, good Lord, I've pumped a lot underneath this thing and I don't see anything happening yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially garage floors. I mean, majority of the time when you come into a garage floor, we're going to lift the garage floor, there's usually a cavity underneath the garage floor, which we have to fill that cavity first before we can get that slab to lift. I mean, there's been times where we've gone in the garage floor and, you know, you might have a 3 or 4 inch lift and we drill and they might have a 16, 17 inch void through the entire garage and we have to fill that void. I mean, it's still even more economical and price efficient to do that rather than tear out and replace it.
You ever get nervous that maybe it's going somewhere else?
Oh yeah, there's been times.
That's great. It's like, oh my.
You usually stop at that point and you figure out what's going on. You don't want to go on up. You might come across a broken down spout line or something like that underneath. But yeah, there's sometimes where you're wondering where it's going. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, because exactly. That's fascinating. Clay, what's one of the things that people, I mean, to me, calling A1 concrete lifting when there's a slab of a sidewalk or driveway to lift that and level that off seems like a no-brainer. What is the negative? What's a homeowner? Do you ever have anybody go like, I'm not going to do that. It's going to blah, blah, blah. Is there a fear for it's not going to work long term? The cosmetics. What's the challenge there?
Yeah, you know, one of the challenges is trying to, especially with, you know, let's say you got those sidewalks where you're walking in your neighborhood and they're all kind of twisted and turned, have trip hazards everywhere. A lot of people think we can go out and, you know, just lift your one slab and kind of twist it and turn it and make it match. And, you know, we can't do that. We need to fix the problem. So just because you have one or two trip hazards, you may have six or seven sidewalks that are settled, you know, so they think, well, hey, you know, I can have somebody grind this corner off or I can have this one replaced. Well, you're not fixing the problem. Right. You know, those four or five slabs that are selling, they're selling for a reason.
Right.
And maybe they're turned back with, you know, where they're holding water now. And it's always only going to perpetuate that issue.
Sure.
And again, for a fraction of the cost, most of the time for re-pouring, you know, we can go in, lift them up, match them up. And then you actually, you know, you're fixing the problem, but you also get a warranty with that. So we offer a 3-year warranty with our work, where if you just replace that one slab and everything continues to settle, you know, you're not fixing the problem. They don't give you any warranty on that. And plus everything matches.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that's the advantage over lifting.
Sure.
As opposed to, you know, patching in new slabs and stuff like that. So sometimes that's the hurdle, trying to get them to understand we have to fix several slabs
right.
to fix one trip hazard.
Well, and it's all about balance, isn't it? it's all about, and you bring up a good point is, you know, the how it all blends in. Plus, you know, the price to replace it is crazy. And a lot of times people just don't do anything. They don't know what to do, but you can have it leveled out with A1 concrete leveling. And so if you got to do a couple slabs, that's fine. Warranted for 3 years. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to bring Ryan in and talk a little bit about your industrial work too, because I know it's more than just residences. We'll continue At Home with Gary Sullivan right here on 55KRC, the talk station. Well, joining me are my friends Clay and Ryan from A1 Concrete Leveling, talking about their business and their service they offer you. And we'll give you a contact information here in just a second. But I want to go to Ryan. I want to ask him one question in terms of industrial work. I know you're out in the field a lot. Would that be like a warehouse floor or something that's settled? That's got to be a bigger job than around a house.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we do warehouses, plenty of warehouses. Actually, amusement park that's near us here in Cincinnati. I've done plenty of work there. I mean, range all kind of different areas. I mean, we've been in laboratories. That actually was a big project we did that had a water main broke, and it went through a laboratory here. We actually had to come in and stabilize the whole floor. But, yeah, I mean, it all depends. I mean, go in, stabilize machines, areas where forklifts go over, where you can see slabs move up and down from the weight of forklifts. All kind of stuff.
Ryan, I got a question. I had a person from, it was Colorado, and it sounded like he was kind of up in the mountains. He said he really wasn't near, he said out in the boondocks where there's not really anybody to help service his problem. And I think it's interesting because he said, is there any way I can fix this myself? Because he's not near anyone, but I'm thinking to myself, knowing people how I know people after doing this show for 35 years, there's somebody out there that's like, I can do this myself. Is there a way to do that yourself? I don't see it. Either going underneath it yourself or patching on top doesn't seem to be an answer.
patching on top, I mean, I've seen people build a ramp on from one sidewalk block to the next to reduce the offset, the trip hazard. I have seen both Clay and I've seen plenty of people make their own contraptions, you want to call it, to try to lift their slab. I've seen people put braces and jack them up and try to stuff underneath. But the thing with that is, with our process, we're lifting and filling all the void and right. really reestablishing the sub base. So right. when people are doing that by themselves, or, you know, fulcrum bars, lifting it up and putting stuff underneath, all they're doing is creating a cavity somewhere else and possibility of that slab wanting to crack after that because it doesn't have a solid base underneath it.
Exactly the way I answered it.
Yep.
And putting it on top doesn't help. You're adding weight, and now it's a coating on top of something, and that's going to fail too.
Yep, that's all it does. And that patches, I mean, especially around here with the freestall, every year any kind of patch you put on usually cracks after the first three freestall over the winter.
Sure, sure. Clay, you can do work. I know this has got to be your busy time of year, right? But you can do work all the way probably up till near the end of the year, can't you?
Yeah, our normal operating range would, you know, pretty much be March to Christmas, you know. Mm-hmm. But we do operate in the winter as well. So, yes, there's going to be some days where it's below freezing or, you know, you have ice and snow on the concrete, of course.
Right.
But that would be the time where we definitely slow down. But we sure. do try to keep trucks ready to go if, you know, the weather breaks a little bit.
So what happens, and also going back to knowing people and myself, I put myself in that category. Somebody has a slab that has dropped, and they've chose to, you know, see no evil, you know, just ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of it being a safety hazard, can it continue to get worse? Will it break eventually?
It could. Yeah, it could crack for sure. If it's, you know, getting those voids beneath it, as we was, you know, talking about earlier. I recently just went talked to a customer about his driveway, and he just wishes he would have called us a couple of years before, because he had two slabs at the top of his driveway crack, and he decided, you know, time to replace it. Only about 20 years old. Other than the crack, you know, overall, I told him his driveway was in good shape, and we could still lift it and stabilize it. And so we did that. I think we fixed about 6-8 slabs for him and caulked all of his seams in his driveway.
Uh-huh.
And he had gotten 3 estimates, and we were about 30% of his lowest estimate.
Wow. Wow.
So he was tickled that he was able to save his driveway, because he thought his only options was, you know, to spend, I think it was between $20,000 and $25,000 for a new driveway for him. So he was very happy.
I'd be happy too. Ryan, I know there's all different types of concrete too. I mean, we've got stamp concrete that looks like slate sometimes. Some looks like wood, so there's different colors. We got exposed aggregate concrete. Can you do that? Can you, that 1-inch hole, can you hide that fairly easily, or can you hide it at all?
Yeah, I mean, we can camouflage it in nicely. I mean, we carry dyes on the truck to be able to pretty much match anything. A lot of times take the powder, if we're in something stamped that has a color to it, you take the powder from the drill, we keep that, we mix it with our grout, and it helps blend it in because it's got the dye in the concrete already. So, I mean, but yeah, we can match in anything. I mean, we carry different types of sand to match in different aggregates and finishes. But we're pretty successful on keeping stuff as hidden as possible.
So, Clay, you do residential, commercial, industrial concrete leveling, and I have used your services multiple times. You guys did a great, great job. Is there other type of concrete repair you guys are involved in, or do you strictly focus on the leveling?
You know, we strictly focus on the leveling, stabilizing it, and, you know, and then we'll caulk those seams. when we're done, we of course discuss with the customer, you know, caulking their seams and stuff like that, how, sure, how much they do or don't want. We advise it, but you know, that's their option. But yeah, our main focus is lifting and leveling, and you know, we feel like we want to stick to what we do.
Yeah, well, that's good. Focus is always key, that's for sure. How do people get a hold of A1 Concrete Leveling?
They can call our office at 513-283-4560. They can go on our website at a1concrete.com, put in their zip code, and actually do request an online estimate. They can send pictures if they want. So a lot of times we can qualify things before we even send an estimator out if they would like as well.
Boy, that's nice. So you can pretty much give somebody an idea what it's going to cost just by communicating through the website or through text, right?
Yeah, maybe it's more of a qualifying tool. You know, sometimes concrete's just too broken. It's, you know, it's time to replace it. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, if it's sometimes we can ballpark things, you know, over the phone, but we definitely want to come out and see it in person.
Yeah, and one other thing, it doesn't have to be broken to get that fixed. I know I had a sidewalk that had tilted the wrong way. You folks fixed that. I had a sidewalk going up to the stoop that had dropped. Some animals got underneath there, burrowed, created a void. You guys fixed that. So if you got sidewalks tilting towards the house, that's not good. And A1 Concrete Leveling can take care of that for you, too. I got to let you go, but real quick, is there – how far out are you? I know a lot of people do a lot of work to your home, to their homes right now. Are you out a month or 6 weeks or
– You know, we try to keep up with our schedule best as we can. We don't like our customers waiting too awful long, you know, if they want to get something fixed. So – you know, within a few weeks, typically, you know, you call us, we come out and look at it. And, sure, some times of the year we get maybe booked out a little bit more than that, but, we run several crews and we like to get people, fixed up as soon as we can. Yeah.
Well, folks, if you, have that issue, get on that right now. Give me that phone number again, Clay, if you would.
Yeah, that's 513-283-4560.
And it's a1concretelevelingcincinnati.com is the website. Guys, thanks for joining me, and good luck. I know you offer a great service. It's guaranteed, and you can certainly make the hardscapes around your home a lot safer. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Gary.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. So good company, good pair of guys. They do great work. All right, Danny Boy. We're going to wrap things up. A reminder, we're back at it at 9:00 in the morning. Good Lord willing, we'll be here, and you're at home with Gary Sullivan.
Well, I talk a lot about the products that can make your life easier, and I use and love Tear Mender. It's been around since 1932. This adhesive repairs tears on all types of clothing, fabrics, leather, vinyl, footwear, buttons. Tear Mender can also repair canvas awnings, tents, carpet, and fabric furniture. It's one product you gotta have in your home this spring as we're pulling out all the outdoor cushions and umbrellas. Tear Mender is available at your local hardware store, Amazon, or tearmender.com for more great make, do, and mend solutions and ideas.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.